The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints, along with all in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of the testimony about Christ was established in you. As a result, you do not lack any gift, as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our epistle reading this week begins with chapter 1, verse 1. It's the very beginning of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the congregation that existed in the Greek city of Corinth. It is customary that we go about doing these kinds of things when we are writing letters in a certain way. Among us, we might begin a letter or an email by saying, "Dear so-and-so," and then, before we get into the subject at hand, we might talk about things that are of a mutual concern to both the author as well as the recipient. So one farmer might write to another farmer about the weather or how the crops are growing. Old friends might talk about a mutual acquaintance that they had recently come across. You get the idea. It is quite common for the beginning of a letter to speak to things that both the letter writer as well as the ones receiving the letter would find relevant. With the writing of Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit by no means despises these kinds of things. The vast majority of the Bible is quite ordinary in the way that it speaks. Only some of the prophetic works, like Ezekiel or Daniel in the Old Testament or Revelation in the New Testament, speak in a more exalted way. Otherwise, you might say that the Holy Spirit wears everyday clothes when he inspires the authors of Scripture. The letters of Paul that we have in the New Testament certainly follow this typical pattern. Whenever Paul addresses a letter, he is immediately thinking about the connection that exists between himself and those to whom he is writing. It is not surprising that he talks about Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, for this is their shared interest. Already in the very first verses of the letter, he foreshadows and prepares the ground for what he'd like to say to them. He often lays out divine truths right at the beginning of his letter that he will then go on to apply to his hearers so that they can gain greater understanding of them. Although Paul has not addressed a letter specifically to any of us, nor to our congregation, what he says can be applied to us because we have the same connection to him as these people to whom he was writing 2,000 years ago. We believe in the same Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit as they. So what Paul says to the Corinthians also applies to us. With that in mind, there is a lot that we can learn from this introduction to his letter. Therefore, today we'll take a look at what Paul says to the Corinthians with the idea of applying it also to ourselves. First of all, Paul says to whom the letter is directed, to the church of God in Corinth. Then he adds a phrase that describes them. He says, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints. The important word behind sanctify and saint is holy. To sanctify means to make holy. A saint is someone who is holy. Holiness is something that is strictly limited to God and is only available through an association with him. There is no way for anyone or anything to be holy except by being in a relationship to the only source of holiness, which is God. So what Paul is saying here is that the members of this congregation have been made holy in Christ Jesus, and that they are holy. This is the reason why the Father sent the Son. It is to make sinners into saints. Then Paul adds this, along with all in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The congregation to which a person belongs is important. It is not by accident that certain people end up in certain congregations. It is the Holy Spirit who calls us and gathers us into congregations. But the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of saints, is larger than any individual congregation. As Paul says, it is made up of those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord. Another way of saying this is that what makes a person a Christian is faith in Jesus as his or her Lord, for without faith, it is not possible to call on something. You must first believe that you will be helped. Otherwise, you would not call out to him. Then follows words that are quite familiar to us, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is more to these words than we might suppose. Grace means gift or help or blessing. Peace means comfort, tranquility, rest. Pronouncing this to someone is offering it to them. The reason why anybody can say grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is because this grace and peace is actually available to them. The reason why it is available to whomever might hear it is because Jesus has died for the sins of the whole world. It is available to all, and God wishes for all to embrace it by faith, saying, yes, this grace and peace is mine as God's gift to me. Blessings naturally serve as a kind of concluding statement, our church services end with a blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, and so on. There's often also blessings like have a good week that we say to one another. So when Paul pronounces the blessing, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, this concludes his opening greeting to the people of God in Corinth. Then Paul gives thanks. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because the testimony of Jesus was established in you. It is amazing how thankful Paul always was. Some people are born with a cheery disposition, where they're almost always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They have a smile for everyone. But it is obvious that Paul's thankfulness is not just of this sort. It was not like Paul is a cockeyed optimist who cannot be down on life because he isn't able to see deeply enough to notice anything discouraging. No, Paul is keenly aware of failings and shortcomings and tragedies of all sorts. Therefore, his thankfulness is not a matter of his personality, but is rather intertwined with his Christian faith. When Paul looks at any Christian, no matter how weak or troubled, he's moved to give thanks. Such a one has been called out of the darkness of slavery to sin, death, and the devil to the light of being known and loved by God. Even if the Christian is still weighed down by the flesh, and harassed by the devil, afflicted with disease and death, the victory has already been won. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Christian will overcome all these things and more. The grace and peace that is given to us by God is such a great and powerful gift, Paul is moved to thanksgiving every time. This is especially noteworthy when we consider the congregation to whom Paul is writing. If you're at all familiar with 1 and 2 Corinthians, then you know that there were a lot of problems in this congregation. There was a lot of disorder, a lot of jealousy. Some were even talking bad about Paul and the gospel of Christ the crucified that he preached. They said it was gloomy and weak and unimpressive. To such a crowd, it seems like denunciations and curses would be the more natural choice, especially since many of them were opposed to Paul. But the fact that Paul does not deal with them in such a way, but actually gives thanks, shows that his thankfulness is not personal. He's thanking God for what God has done in them. He has the eyes to see that God was powerfully at work in spite of their blemishes. The goodness that God has worked is so great that their faults are hardly noticeable, even though they are opposing Paul himself. This is something useful for our life together and our fight against the devil. Without a shadow of a doubt, I can say that the devil does not want you to be a part of this congregation. He wants you to be away and to stay away. So it is with all Christian congregations and schools and whatever else, wherever else Christians might gather. There's hardly a more effective way for the devil to achieve his purposes than to turn Christians against one another. Instead of thanking God for the grace that he has worked in your fellow congregant so that you can hardly notice the faults, the devil will turn it around. You become so aware of the faults that you can't hardly believe that the other one can be a decent person, much less a Christian. I have known congregations where they become so poisoned and toxic that feuding becomes more important than praying or praising or giving thanks. On the other hand, where there is humility, gentleness, and bearing with one another in love, this covers a multitude of sins and weaknesses. When the flock stays together, it is a lot stronger against the wolf. He wants to divide us and scatter us so that he can pick us all off one by one. So Paul's thanksgiving to God is important, not because he's making it up with some rose-colored glasses, but because he has the eyes to see the goodness of God even in the midst of much trouble. It is also important to hear what he gives thanks for. He says that they have been enriched in every way, in all their speaking and in all their knowledge, because the testimony of Christ was established in them. Given their troubles, it might be easy to think that they were poor rather than rich, but for that to be the case, they would actually have to cease being Christians altogether. For if anyone is a Christian, then he or she can't help but be filled to the brim, particularly in the way that they speak and think. A Christian knows that God has saved the world in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A Christian knows that this world will not last forever. A Christian knows that evil will one day be segregated and punished once and for all in hell. A Christian knows that what is truly good about life is not money or glory or all the other things that unbelievers go after, but rather love. All these things and more is a tremendous wisdom that God gives whenever he works faith in Jesus. There is no such thing as a poor Christian when it comes to knowledge. If a person is a Christian, then automatically he or she has been given more than anybody could hope for or even imagine. It doesn't matter if they are clever and quick or whether they are slow and dumb. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We all have one Savior, one knowledge. We all have the same gift, whereby we overcome death and the grave and will enter into eternal life. And eternal life is the name of the game. We are not a country club. We are not a public service organization. Our congregation is a gathering of Christians who work together so that the saving gospel of Jesus Christ may be made known to us and to whomever might cross our path, and so that the sacraments that Christ instituted for our salvation may be offered to all who desire them. All this is done so that we may stand redeemed and holy, forgiven of our sins, when Christ comes again in glory and inaugurates the fullness of his heavenly kingdom. When Paul speaks about the way that the Corinthians are rich and overflowing, it is with this endpoint in mind. He says, because the testimony about Christ was established in you, you do not lack any gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking about the last day. If there is anything that has made Christian congregations deteriorate all around us, I think it is the loss of this end times perspective that has done it. When congregations are seen as places for people to socialize or do volunteer work or what have you, and they are no longer seen as places where people are being prepared for the last day, then they cannot help but lose sight of Christ the Crucified, because this is what Christ the Crucified is all about. Indeed, this is one of the concerns that Paul has with the Corinthians. They are losing sight of why we are Christians. And so Paul speaks of this divine truth at the beginning of his letter and will explain it more thoroughly as the letter goes on. Finally, we have some encouragement at the end of the portion of Paul's letter that was read today. He says, God will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In many and various ways, sometimes by rather strange circumstances, each one of you has come to be part of this congregation. This includes also me and my family. This is not by accident. The Holy Spirit has gathered us together. So also the Holy Spirit gathered together the congregation at Corinth in Paul's time too. So what Paul says of them is also true of us. The reason why we have been gathered is so that we can be kept strong until the end, so that we may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. You are in communion with him by God's working. Although we are not nearly so faithful as we would like to be, God, on the other hand, is faithful. He has given us his gospel. He has given us his sacraments. By continuing to use them, we may be assured of our faith being strengthened, of our ongoing sanctification until the end. In conclusion, I hope that you can see from Paul's words to our congregation today that we are something special. We are not just religious consumers, and this church happens to be the store at which we all happen to be shopping at the same time. No, our eternal lives are already bound together in our shared story of salvation. We are together being sanctified and kept in the true faith. Our interactions with one another are important and powerful, either for the good or for the bad. Thus, we are responsible to one another, to help one another. God, help us to be faithful. Amen. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.